I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. And now, here's David and Leslie.
I'm sorry, Jones.
Hello! Charlottesville!
He broken.
Oh!
He's broken.
Sunday, July 8th. Temperate.
Not hot AF as it has been for the past while.
We like that.
Yeah. But you are in the new and burgeoning Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Black Frodo. This little guy with ugly feet trying to get through the darkness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry about... let's just, without further ado, let's get to the banner. With me, as always, is the lovely, loquacious, lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones. How you doing, babe?
Well, good morning, David.
Oh, I don't know about good mornings, but I know it was a good evening.
It was a good evening, man.
Last night.
We had a blast yesterday, right?
Yeah, we had the pleasure of doing acting and judging and Entourage and all this type of work.
In Claw.
At the Claw, at the Charlottesville Ladies Arm Wrestling thing that they always do. And they've been doing it for years. Like, they have, like, troops all around. But it was my first time, like, actually going. And, oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God. It was such a blast.
Oh,
it was such a blast.
My good Lord.
So I urge you, Charlottesvillians, if you haven't been to a Claw event, go to a Claw event. Every Claw event goes to a great artistic cause within the community. And you're going to have a blast. And you're going to drink a lot of awesome beer. My body is 4% shower beer residue right now. So I'm feeling it.
Oh, my God. No, it was such a great time last night. And, you know, and one of our wrestlers from Charlottesville Players Guild won. Black Puddin' won. Man, she was only supposed to wrestle in 3 bouts. She ended up wrestling in 6. And won every single one of them.
It was the dance contest that was the clincher.
The dance contest was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so basically, Black Puddin' got a little excited because she lost like one bout, one like part of a bout, and threw pudding on the other wrestler and got put like in the like got thrown out. And then
That might have served as a disqualification.
There was an anonymous donation of Claw Bucks to get her back to do a dance off with Joan Jett, who was the other wrestler. And she pulled it out.
But like, they played Rihanna. So it was like, that was the clincher right there.
Right.
Like, they know what I'm talking about. It was no contest.
They played
Riri. Joan Jett going against Black Puddin'.
She got that work.
Playing the Rihanna show.
She had that work going. All right.
Like,
she had
it was
work.
All around.
Understood.
The working and the twerking and all of that.
All of that.
Like, it was done.
Yeah,
like,
I saw Black Puddin' this morning. She said her legs hurt. I was like,
I bet they did.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
All of that hurt.
Right?
All of the lower body. But... Let's, again, shout out to the 8 to 10 black folks. Black folks, come to Claw. It's awesome. It's
a
blast.
Yeah, please do.
Show that representation.
Seriously, no, the start of it, people are starting to come in. I was like, wow, this is really white.
It's like,
this is really white. And then I saw a black person come in. I was like, yay.
Isn't that the subtext for just about every event?
It is. Like, I tell you, like, I remember,
if you,
like,
white people, if you walk into a room and you see that there's this one black person sitting there and you're like, they look kind of stern, they look at me like, oh my gosh, I wonder what they're thinking. Oh my gosh, I wonder what. Nine times out of ten, they're thinking, wow, this is really white.
Yes.
I thought I was going to feel awkward.
Oh, wait. There's another black person. Okay. Nine out of ten times.
That's what's going on.
Yeah,
in my head.
I always call it the Disney World effect, because whenever you go to Disney World and you see another black family at Disney World, there's like this immediate like symbiote, like this bond, and you're just like,
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Right?
I got you. We hear paying $10 a slice. I see you.
Right? Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because it wasn't like, it was all the way up till I think the mid to late 70s where the rule was that if there were more than one black family in the park, they had to keep them separated.
Just, right.
Just not to scare.
Like everyone the other else.
Yes.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yes.
They're rioting. They're marching.
it was like school integration. They had a military group with them.
Right,
the
exactly.
Whole time.
Right.
It's like, we got to let them in, guys. It's in the law now. It's in the book.
There are two black families converging at the Magic Mountain. Could we get a Goofy over there?
Can we get another Mickey? We need another Mickey to break them
we
up.
If we can divert them to the magic teacups, we'll be good. That'll be.
We need to
organize a parade right now.
That was the permit patty of the 50s. But
all right.
Let's move on, shall
we? Start with the show.
To a person who is so not Disney. And
that's a good thing.
An amazing
thing.
Local artist.
Yes.
Who has done great work. Yeah, we're returning to the show.
No. I mean, Sam's returning to the show.
Oh, she's returning to the show. Yes. Yes. She is returning to the show.
This is her second time, right?
She ain't no newbie. She knows how this works. She'll know how I work. She's new to me.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, this is new.
She's a little scared of you right now, David, actually.
Yeah. I do that to a lot of people.
You do.
So
it's okay, though.
I do
it, too. I've just, you know, come to realize it and just move on.
Samantha Gray is in the house. Guyan Reveries is the exhibit at the McGuffey Art Center. She is a residing artist?
Yeah, resident artist.
Resident artist.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it right.
I go by Sam, too.
Okay, oh, yes. Got you. Sam Gray, currently running through August the 19th to my sister's birthday. So, good times. Sam Gray, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
So, what's up?
So,
you excited about this new thing? Going down at the McGuffey?
Oh, my show? Yes.
Yes.
Most definitely. Yeah, my very first solo show. So it's been quite a
really?
While.
Really? I didn't know this was your first solo show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've only been at McGuffey for 2 years. Like, when I was talking with you guys before, I was in the incubator studio.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
So I'm still a really fresh member.
So can I jump in and just ask? So, like you said, when you first came on the show, you were in the incubator studio talking about the incubator studio. We just had Eileen French on to talk about the latest batch of incubators. Check out SIVOPodcast.com to find that episode.
Homegrown.
So what's it like having been now being a renting artist?
Oh, it's so amazing. I mean, being an incubator was a great way to step into the community, but I'm getting to know other members a lot more now that I'm working there every day. I've quit my side job, so I just like live there basically, and I'm just going to become part of the
full time artist.
Yeah,
full time local artist.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I
need to make that
side job, it's okay.
Like, every time you're a full time local artist.
No, but I mean, can we talk about that for a minute? Like, what was the process? Because I mean, I think that's what we as artists all aspire to, right? To be able to like quit that 9-to-5 that stops us from doing art.
Oh, totally.
And do our art full time. Like, talk about the journey and like, because I know that must have been like a hard decision to make.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have a good 9-to-5 job. I was doing like bakery work, catering, things that clearly,
every artist does.
Like, you like get nervous because you don't have money and you're like, oh, I got to get a job really quick. And then you find yourself getting these paychecks and you're like, what a waste of my time.
Right.
Like,
no one
can live on this.
Right.
And I'm lucky enough to have a graphic design background, so I can freelance and do that, and it's a lot easier to sell work like that, make money like that, than selling art. So it's a good like step
towards, Okay.
And I'm still self-employed doing that. So
Yeah, because that's that decision to do that. That's real.
It's big, like, and I really respect artists too who don't want to like rely on their work to make money. I know plenty of artists who want to have the side job so they don't have to hustle their art and they can just make what they really want to make.
Yeah, because that does change how you create when you are creating literally to eat. Like it changes your process.
And it also changes what you you compromise.
Yes.
I remember I know that ever since I just started doing like just doing freelance writing and just like posting stuff and blogs to like writing for magazines that have
right.
editors that have narratives that they want to push and things that they don't necessarily want to push in your writing, and you have to kind of like sacrifice that for that meager amount of whatever they're willing to pay you.
Right.
So art comes at a sacrifice when you're willing to do that specifically just to live.
Yeah. For sure. Or you're like, with the work that I'm doing now, some of it I'm just like, is it too weird? Is someone going to want to put fallopian tubes on their wall? Like,
hell yeah!
I would. If they choice, look like but... that, that's awesome.
For real, well, though, you. Let's go to the fallopian tubes. Science.
Yes!
This is Sam Gray Rocks. Sam Gray Doc Rocks and paintings.com. Oh, cool. All right, so this is going to be...
Oh, my God. I yeah. love that. Yeah. I love that. Oh my God, yeah. the skull! I love
so
the skull.
So this will be a McGuffey when you go to see it, which is what I will do. Wow. Later.
So can I jump in? Can we talk about Guyan Reveries?
Yeah, sure. For, yes.
So first off, the name Guyan Reveries.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that for us? I mean, looking at the show, I've got my own guesses, but I really want to hear from you.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Some people have no clue what Gaia means, and I didn't
realize it wouldn't translate. It's interesting because when I was there was a woman who was like, "Is that Celtic?" I'm like, "No,
no, no, boo boo."
Well, yeah, the name basically means like daydreams or dreams from the Earth Mother. Just, mm-hmm. and I'm just basically like channeling what comes out when I put a pen to paper. Because when I like signed up for this slot 8 months ago, I was like frozen by the idea of what to make, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna like make what comes out and not worry about it. It's my first show, so just like let it just be what comes out.
It's interesting because you've got like, for instance, like the so first of all, these two that are sitting on our screen right now, they're part of there are four acrylics, acrylics that are hung together. Those two and the two, like, let's see, what is it, Flower of Life and Forbidden Fruit, and then that one and Mask of Lilith. Are they meant to be diptychs?
I mean, they could be seen separately. I made them together, obviously, like the shapes are informing one another and the content as well. And basically, it's, I'll call them diptychs, because it's fun to say, too.
Yeah,
that's a great word. But talking about female
anatomy. Yes, for those
anatomy,
of you who don't know what that means, Google.
Oh, yeah.
Google.
That's not a bad word.
Google is your
friend.
I'm
just
Googling people right now, because I'm trying to figure out what a diptych is, like, all of a sudden. No, I know it means, like, two things that are similar in ideal and like theme, like a triptych, like in improv. I know about that, like three scenes that kind of like identify with each other
thing.
And kind of connect with each other. So that's the only way I knew how to connect it. But don't be dumb shaming anybody.
I'm just saying, you know, if you don't know the word, look it up. It's
a diptych is used, especially in visual art. Diptych are two pieces that are at least not nominally, but at least at some level separated. Sometimes they're actually attached,
right?
But they're still in separate frames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're two pieces that should be seen together.
Yeah.
Diptychs
and
triptychs.
Definitely.
So I'm interested in how you've layered flowers and vines in these. I mean, obviously, a lot of people have often referred to, you know, lady parts as flowers.
Garden.
Right. You know.
Well, you do that throughout the show, throughout so many of the pieces. Yeah. There's vegetation. There's vegetation coming out.
Yeah.
In a lot
so
of
So is that just, is that the Earth Mother connection?
Yeah, I think it must be something to do with like oneness with creation.
Yeah. Okay.
And for these particular ones, like the fallopian tubes are surrounded by roses and thorns, and it's called Crown of Eve, and it's like the fall of mankind or womankind and all that. And then the other one is, you know, seen as a satanic image, the ram's head.
Yeah.
But it has sprouting plants coming out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So and you know what? I think, seriously, Lilith is one of the most misunderstood people in history. Like, she's always associated with something demonic or bad or whatever. And it's like, no.
Because
she's
a representation of strong woman.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Demonic,
which is seen as demonic and bad when literally she is just a woman who's come into her own power. Like, it could be bad if you try and cross her. Like, you step to her the wrong way. Yeah, it can be bad for you. But, but that's not her purpose.
Yeah. And my next show, I actually have another solo show coming up in December at Studio X because I'm insane and I'm like, oh, that was really tough 8 months. Let's do it again in 5 months.
Yay!
And that one is called Dear Lilith. And
oh, awesome.
I'll be focusing on that.
Can you talk about the role of spirituality in this work and maybe in your work in general? Because it's not just Mask of Lilith. You also have that diptych that's Forbidden Fruit. And there are a couple of pieces where although they're not explicitly Christian or explicitly Buddhist, you're clearly reaching to that iconography and playing with that iconography.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't have a strong religious background.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, my mom's family is Catholic, but I was raised Unitarian, which is like, kumbaya.
Just be nice.
But it's definitely fascinating to me, and I've become more spiritual as I've grown my connection with the natural world and have explored plants and fungi and getting to know all those things. And also through art making, I process my life and my subconscious. So it comes together in that creation process for me.
Would you say that playing with the natural world, that, or at least that the natural world continues to have a prominence in your work? And
oh yeah,
because it's so strongly throughout.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily always want to be doing that and be like, that's that girl who puts like leaves on everything. put a bird on it. Put a flower on it. But for now, it's definitely like something that is always inspiring me. And I go and walk out in the woods, and that's a great way of like getting high, getting centered, just like totally getting out of all the shit that I've been thinking of.
But you know, but more people need to do that. More people just need to just take a walk. Like, how many parks are around? Like,
just
take a walk, take your shoes off, let your feet feel the grass. Like,
that's right.
It can be magical.
Take a break from life. Take a break from life. Hey, one more round of applause for full-time working artist.
Yeah.
At a homegrown studio.
Yay!
We're gonna pay some bills. We'll be right back with Sam Gray. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is Leah Calvani. You're listening to Homegrown on 94.7.
19 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie, Clinton on the boards. Sam Gray's in the house. Talking about guy and reveries. Talking about dreams from the Mother Earth. What? From the Mother Earth. What? From the Mother Earth. What?
He's singing again.
I don't know what.
He's singing again.
It's going to August 19th.
Yeah, yes.
So, to take you away from the woman who puts, you know, flowers and minds everything, can we talk about the role of the body in Gaia and Reveille? Because there's a lot of the body. You do a lot of manipulation with the body, and there's a lot of sometimes there's fragmentation, sometimes there's multiplication, multiple arms, multiple heads.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's an opening of the body. Like there's a piece where you're looking inside. Could you talk about that?
And for me, it's a metaphor for the human spirit. I mean, it can also, you know, of course, represent the human body itself and the physicality and what that is like, that experience. But I think a lot of people see naked bodies in art and it can be upsetting to them, but really it's just a natural thing. I remember being in art school and a friend of mine, we were talking about drawing naked people in figure drawing, and she was like, that is disgusting. I mean, we were in Georgia, but
when Bob Anderson did his last show, we had him here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. We said, well, could you take a moment to talk about what it means to draw the nude and what your thoughts are and what you have to say to people who are uncomfortable by it and say, well, what's going on? And it was an interesting, moment. But speaking of that, am I correct in saying that you use yourself as a model sometimes?
Oh yeah.
And does that make the pieces autobiographical?
Well, I think, and people will tell me they see a self-portrait in other, when I'm drawing other people, they're like, that looks a lot like you. And I think each artist just, you know, unintentionally, you end up drawing people that look like you. And so every person you draw becomes a bit of a self-portrait. And even when it's not, and even when I'm just like getting images off the internet, it's still a story through my voice and my thoughts. But yeah, and I think the one thing about not including clothing is that it makes the body timeless. You're not dating it or stylizing it.
Oh, so right.
It helps it become something more universal slightly.
And every single one of us just had an epiphany.
Yeah.
Like, literally, every single one of us was just like, right!
So there's definitely, like, naked people in art that can make me uncomfortable. Like, if I don't know, like, when there's creepy guys that, only want to draw, like, naked women in, like, really sexual poses, and they're like, I'm making a statement about women, and I'm like, why don't you let a woman do that? Or why don't you not exploit
and
women?
And what is that statement?
Exploiting women, you know? I understand.
Yeah, there's that. Rare. There's definitely that.
See, I was wondering why all of my paintings of myself in JNCO jeans never took off. It's because they're dated. I should have just done them naked.
That's the main problem you saw with those paintings? Okay. All right.
But
That's
the only
curve.
Problem. They were really comfortable. Very flowy.
Were they?
Very flowy pants.
Okay.
Y'all know what I'm talking
about.
Good. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
So it looks like, Sam, like, I was just flipping through, like, some of your, you know, the newer work to, like, back in the recent work, or less recent, and it just looks like, Not a change in artistry, but just kind of like a different approach. Mm. It looks like you were doing more people. I love this Narcissus one.
I know,
by
the
way.
Kiss.
Thanks. That's my baby.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I love the blue and the yellow. But it looks like you went from people that kind of look like you, to more like symbolism, especially with these diptychs. Do you feel like you're taking like making like a change in like era style or like approach to your art?
Always changing and always trying new techniques.
Of course.
Yeah, I think I was catching myself doing a lot of very similar compositions with like a centrally located figure.
Right.
And I was like, all right, that's getting a little boring for myself. But also the paintings, they're kind of like the symbolist section of the whole show.
Right.
But the rest of the show is mostly drawings, and it's a little more like, you know, my typical, like, figure in the ground, you know. Mm. But, yeah, always trying new stuff. For
right
sure.
on.
So, continuing to talk about your use of bodies, something that I think comes up a lot in, not in these works, not in the acrylics, but in the graphite stuff, charcoal that you use, because you switch media a lot of you've got ink and colored pencil, you've got charcoal, you've got some graphite stuff, but something comes up a lot are eyes and hair. And it's interesting to me how rich hair is and how transforming hair is in your work, considering that you've just cut your hair so short from when we first met you.
Oh yeah,
it's probably been a long time
for a while.
Now.
I mean, yeah, it's funny.
Yes, I saw that. I saw the photos of that when you first shaved your head on Facebook, and I was like, oh, look at her! I like that.
It's so I have no patience.
Do eyes and hair are they significant for you?
You know, yeah. I think I love drawing hair a lot more than I love having it, because it's just a pain.
It is.
Yeah. So, and the eyes. I think I have a connection with drawing eyes. It's like the window into the soul, and it's also how humans predominantly, unless you can't see, connect with the outside world. And they're also, so they're such an important tool, but they're also flawed. And I find myself replacing them a lot with like other things like flowers and trees.
Yeah.
And what some people are like, that is inherently uncomfortable to look at this. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that's good.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you supposed to do if you're not forcing the person viewing your art to think about something in a different way?
I love
it's supposed to be uncomfortable for you, dude. That's what,
I love this. I forget who said it, but someone said, art is meant to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable.
Yes.
Oh, whoa.
Yes. I like that. That's perfect.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That explains so much. That seems to fit. It seems so right in terms of your pull towards surrealism, because there's always not always, but frequently there's a bit of discomfort in visual surrealism.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, that's interesting, but it's also kind of it's not the way
it's supposed to be.
Clocks aren't supposed to drip like
has
that.
Grass for hair. What is this chick doing?
What is wrong with this dolly guy?
Classic.
So you've got a bus.
Oh yeah, that too. That happened.
Oh, yeah, you live on a bus.
Yeah, talk about
talk about your bus.
Oh, that was another one where my mom was like, "Are you sure they're gonna let you put this on the side of a bus?" At first, when I submitted my sketch, it was like children with plants instead of half-naked adult fairy people. But
it's fairy,
like,
so it's cool.
They're like, well, we saw your website. We like the sketch. We saw the website. We want you to just do what you do. So they're just like, redo it. You can just submit a whole new design for your final design.
Really?
I was like, oh, that's very trusting of them. My mom was like, there's a lot of thigh on this design. But they went for it.
Got a side cheek on this.
Yeah.
Did you say to your mom, have you ever ridden the Charlottesville bus? Sometimes there's a lot of thigh on the Charlottesville bus. I'm just saying.
There's a lot of thighs on buses in general.
It gets hot in Charlottesville. We don't wear a lot when we're sitting in the bus.
Oh, perfect. My.
I mean, I know on the Brooklyn bus is definitely a lot of thighs.
Oh, yeah. Oh really? Yeah.
Show enough.
Brooklyn.
Show enough. Brooklyn in the house. So what's next?
Oh, yeah.
You said Ix in the next
so
5 months?
There's a show at the Ix in 5 months, but I'm also part of the Teeny Tiny Trifecta at Second Street Gallery. Awesome. I forget what... I know I'm supposed to get that done by the end of the month. I think it's in September that it's showing.
You'll get it done.
But look it up online, and then also the Feminist Union of Charlottesville Creatives will be having a show in October, and I'll be talking with y'all again about that.
Best acronym. Ever. All right. We got to wrap it up, but Sam Gray is going to be back on the show because it's always a blast. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yay!
Full-time artist applause. Yay! All right. So we're going to get to some artistic events. Is that what we're doing? Just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running... Jeez, my voice is messed up. Through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center.
Shakespeare.
Runs a summer fall season with just four plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma
Whipday.
George Etheridge's The Man of Mode, or Sir Fopling Flatter.
Oh, Sir Fopling Flutter.
And Richard III. And As You Like It.
As You Like It.
By Shakespeare. Currently running. Through July 15th, Harvey at UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater as part of this year's Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Currently running Shri Kodakala opens his exhibition of acrylic paint and charcoal works. Did I get that right?
She's a woman.
She. It's a she.
Shri Kodakala.
She is a she.
Opens her exhibition of acrylic paints.
There
we just
gonna
scratch that out of the script.
Scratch
right
the heat
now.
Out.
I'm Ron Burgundy. I just read what's thrown in front
God.
Of me. I'm so sorry, Shri. We gonna get it right. Acrylic paint, charcoal works at Leroy Moore Performance Hall at the Music Resource Center. Shout out to Sam Gray for the quick correction. Currently running. Chroma Arts Projects features Nim Patterson's show, Synonyms, Antonyms, and Akemi? O'Hara and Chusin Zhang. Joint show. Personal truth. If I say it real quiet, I can't.
If he says it really quiet, that means he can't pronounce the name.
Or I can't mess it up more than I already am. Tomorrow, the Northside branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library shows the award-winning film No Greater Love, a documentary with Reboot Combat Recovery Program. A first-hand account of the Afghanistan War through the eyes of former Army Chaplain Justin Roberts. Intense. July 10th, the Fralin Art Museum offers Babes in Artland for adult caregivers of infants.
Oh yes, we're going to the front end.
18
yes.
months and younger. Bring your child to the Fralin Art Museum. Bring your baby.
Bring your child.
To join fellow parents for lively conversations about works of art. Put your baby in with the other pen.
Yes, bring your baby to the front end.
Just
yes.
have them roll around and finger paint. July 11th, Jefferson Madison Regional Children's Librarian Glynis Welts, or just Welts, from the Gordon Avenue branch comes to UVA's Fralin Art Museum collaboration for Pictures and Pages, where she uses movement, songs, and even puppets to connect kids to art. July 13th through the 15th, the Maupintown Film Festival at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. Maupintown's always great, always has great short films made by people of color celebrating history
people of
people of color. So check it out. July 13th to July 29th, Crybaby, the musical based on the John Waters movie by the same name, presented as part of Live Arts Teen Summer Program. I don't know about the show, but I saw the two people in that picture, and they are adorbs.
Aren't they?
They are kind of adorbs.
Well, the stage manager, Scott, has been like posting pictures of dance rehearsal, and oh my God, they're so cute.
I'm sure.
They're so cute.
I'm sure. July 14th, the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library invites you to make alcohol ink tiles in the park next to the library. Homegrown says, make art, not white supremacy. That is true.
Is that true?
Everybody, July 14th, UVA Shakespeare on the Lawn presents a stage reading of Midsummer Night's Dream on UVA South Lawn. You know, if you just make me panic, it's just going to make me go slower. July 15th and 16th, auditions for Live Arts Fall Musical Ragtime at Live Arts Theater. Go to the Live Arts website for details. I'm going to write that down real quick. July 18th through 29th, Macbeth by the Charlottesville Players Guild at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. And for your music options this week.
Oh, I've your music options this week. All right, today through August 5th, we have the Wintergreen Summer Music Festival. This year's festival is Building Bridges, celebrating the connections that only music can make. Full schedule at wintergreenperformingarts.org. Today, Patrick and Aaron Orwell and friends at Albemarle Sideworks. Harmonia, a benefit for migrant children and families. Yet another moment when local artists have stepped forward to support a group of people that our government has targeted for neglect or outright abuse. Yes. At the X Park, come here, local musicians Rusty Spidell, Tucker Rogers, Mariana Bell, Gina Matthew, Aaron Lunsford, Lua, Atreyu Jackson, T. Woodward, John Durth.
John.
Come on the show, John.
Yeah.
Just come on the show. And
very
more.
Awesome.
All right, that's today at X. Tonight, King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. July 10th, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. Bob Huntington and Travis Elliott, Fellini's. On the 11th, we have Ben Hernandez and Gabe Robry from the bluegrass group Gelatin Canyon play the Whiskey Jar.
Ooh, squishy.
It does sound a little squishy, doesn't it?
That's
David Kalund and Matty Metcalf play folk rock, influenced by the Birds, T-Rex, and 60s girl groups at the Shebeen. Oh, lovely. Stanton's Jam Rock Band Aquatic Lasso at Rapture. All on the 11th now. On the 12th, we have Stray, Foster, Sweet Tooth, and Films on Song play with Richmond's Camp Howard at the X Park. Lexington's Tom Atwick plays Jazz in the Park, and Stanton's Gypsy Hill Park. Have you ever been to that park? It's quite lovely.
It's a beautiful park.
It's a lark at the park.
And they do lovely music there during the summer.
It's not a Stark Park.
It's not a Stark Park, but it's very beautiful. It's got a little stream running through. It's very good. The 13th, get your traditional Irish music on with Trio Dusty Hedgehog at Wayland's Crossing Tavern. Tara Mills is this Friday's artist at Blue Mountain Brewery's Full Nelson Friday. Adar at the Whiskey Jar.
Dar.
Seaville Jazz Series presents Greg Duncan Organ Trio with Jonah Kane West and Kelly Strawbridge. Scuffletown at Glass High's Winery. On the 14th, Ann Lark, Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Batesville Freight Paid at Batesville Market. Cat Summers at the Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room. Eric Frenzen at Fellini's. DJ Groovematic at Rapture. Oh my God, there's so much. On the 20th, we have Vibe Riot. Yes.
What?
Vibe Fest 2018. The Summer of Love on July 20th at the X Park. And you know who that's sponsored by? Oh my, it's sponsored by us. Sponsored by Homegrown, your local show about art. All right. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seaford, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Songwriter Night at the Local. That's all Monday. All right. Tuesday, we have the traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub and Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Umberto Solis at the Bebedero. All right. Now, here we are. We're at Wednesday now. It's a very long list, so hold on. Open mic night at Pro Rain Art of Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at Ix Art Park.
Boom!
Stone Rollin' at the Shebeen.
Rollin'!
And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at the Mets. Oh my goodness, that's an awful lot on a Wednesday. I'm just saying. Take your vitamins, people, for Wednesday. Every Thursday, we have Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday. John Duff Quintet at Miller's. And that's what's going on this week for music.
And that's your music options and all the art, all of the music in Charlottesville. We're going to pay some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is filmmaker Lorenzo Dickerson, and you're listening to The Homegrown Show. The show about local art on WPVC 94.7.
Minutes past the hour. You're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Previously broadcasted episode with your host, Dan Gould. His guests are Kim Wilkins and Jessica Ote and Elise Kane from Charlottesville Women in Tech, talking about their efforts to encourage more girls and women to pursue careers in technology. Yo,
yeah,
sit
girls,
your daughter down.
Girls, get your tech on, seriously.
Yeah. Play this episode, talking about STEM careers. It's a good thing. It's an awesome thing. Great episode. I keep plugging it. But this guy.
Now.
This now. Guy right here. Is always a great friend.
You know what?
In so many ways and
it's
shapes.
It's so good to have King J-Wah back on the show.
It's a pleasure to be back. You lovely people.
Yes. He's been here the whole time, just kind of like cracking up and like giving us googly eyes as we go crazy on the radio.
But this is what
Ron
we do.
Burgundy and
you ain't new to this. You are so not new to this. Like,
right?
You already know.
You know us.
I do. Fortunately.
That's the right answer. We got J-War in the house. He's talking about Vibe Riot 2018 Summer of Love, which Homegrown and 94.7 is also a sponsor of.
That's right.
Ix Art Park going down July 20th. Also, Vibe Riot's playing Friday after 5.
That's right. August 17th.
Oh, at the Beville. Yo, you fancy.
He is, man.
Real fancy. Y'all blowing up. I mean, like, because I remember hearing about Vibe Riot and, like, since I got back in Charlottesville, like, which was about 2 years ago. And now, y'all are playing the Pavilion.
They're
dog.
Everywhere.
Yeah, man.
They're everywhere. Like, Vibe Riot has, like, blown up.
Yeah.
We've been working.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so, though. I mean, and it's interesting to me because I remember friends of mine asking me specifically, they're like, hey, I don't know any, like, nobody does reggae around here. Like, do you know any reggae? Like, I haven't heard any reggae. Like, where's all that? And I'm like, really? Really? First of all, I'm not the, you know, I'm not the black oracle of knowledge. Like, I can't answer not, every black question. Not. Like, for real, one.
surely you're either related to or
oh, well, well, yes,
this black definitely, person in Charlottesville.
Definitely in my family. But anyway.
You like, can send them my way. I'm totally willing to be their black oracle. I have no problem with that at all. You want to put that on me? I will make up stuff.
No, Lord.
I got Google right here. This is what my folks are doing.
Do you know somebody by the name Neo?
Right, But like Vibe Riot has like filled that void, but it's not necessarily reggae. Like, what I mean, what you guys do is such an amalgam of mm-hmm. of different genres, yeah. and it yeah. just it melds so well. I like, how did you come up with this sound?
It's all of us. I grew up, my dad's from Jamaica, so I grew up, that was a big influence on me,
right,
for my whole life. But I fell in love on my own with hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
and so my favorite music was when the two were meshed.
Yeah. You
know? And a lot of the guys that are in the band or have been in the band, they're eclectic. They're more eclectic than I am. So they bring the rock, they bring the funk. And so we all just come together and, hey, this is what you get.
So we got a couple of tracks on deck. So so whoever's listening, no, hold on. Whoever's listening to Homegrown is going to catch a little bit of Vibe Riot. But I wanted to ask you, like I ask every musician that comes in here, what was, or at least try to, like, what was that one album that you like put on and you were like, this is it. This is what I want to create. This is the sound.
He's not going to be able to choose one. I'm going to tell you that now.
First thing that comes to your mind, top three.
Just
comes to your head 5 seconds.
At what like, phase what of my it? Life? What phase Water's of my life? Oh, man. You know I can't answer that. I mean, I love everything. Fugees was early.
Yeah.
The score.
Very early. The score was very early.
All continuous. Doesn't stop.
Jay-Z. Big influence. Mm-hmm. Nas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jay-Z or Nas. Gun to your head.
Come on now.
5 seconds.
Come on now.
You gonna make me do it?
Who got the dope lyrics?
Yes.
Dopest lyrics?
Yeah.
Or overall?
Dopest lyrics.
Dopest lyrics.
All right, Jay.
What?
No. I gotta challenge you on that one. No.
So right,
can
another,
I give the long
that's
version?
Another conversation. That's another conversation because we gotta talk business.
Yeah.
So Vibe Fest 2018. Is that something that Vibe Riot puts on for other groups and you created, like, is it kind of like Wayne Stock for you? Like, is it like, if you build it, they will come?
Yeah, kind of.
This is not the first Vibe Fest.
This is the second one.
Yeah, it's the second one.
Yeah, because I remember last year, so.
No, it's seriously, March. Like, it was in March. And, like, he and I were, like.
It just felt so long.
We're messaging back and forth because, you know, he was kind of. We were commiserating over like being in charge of something like this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's the night before and I feel like I'm going crazy. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly where you should be right now. It's okay. Really, that's where you should be. You should feel like you are going absolutely insane mm-hmm. and like nothing is going to work out.
Yep.
But in the end, it will. And as soon, like 5 minutes into it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that worked.
Oh,
that
man.
Fell together.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, exactly like that.
Yeah. So talk about that process and like if I were to put on like a show, like what would be like the technical aspects of putting that on and like the pressure?
You gotta have your place, your mm-hmm. time. You gotta have your support,
mm-hmm.
radio,
right.
Businesses, local mm-hmm. businesses. You gotta know what artists you can reach out to, who's available.
Right.
Sound guys.
So did you hit up everybody yourself or did you just like Barack Obama it and like just get yourself a team and just like delegate all of this work out to people? It's like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know the sound stuff. So I'm gonna put you on sound and you know the connect. So I'm gonna put you on like, you know, event, like, you know, coordination or something like that.
I definitely could not and did not do this all by myself. I was kind of reaching out to everybody that I knew was good at what they do.
Right on.
And then whenever I couldn't find somebody, then I would take that on, you know what I mean, and kind of like mm-hmm. pull it together.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a lot of work.
I was going crazy the first time. The second time feels a little bit easier because I'm reaching out to some of the same people. Like, hey, remember that thing we did a couple months ago?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, bet. That was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, that's how it goes.
And plus some other things I've done, like the play. Helped me connect me with some
Killed
new people.
Killed It and Joe Turner's Come Thank and you. Gone, by the way. Thank Directed you. By the great guy, Ike Anderson, who's doing Ragtime
so,
coming
up. Ike's involved.
Of course.
Darkita, who was also in the show, she's involved. Yeah, so yeah, it's just everything kind of feeds everything else, and so yeah, here we are getting ready to do it again.
Nice. So, is there anything that you did? You want to play some? Yeah, let's do it.
Let's hear some Vibe Riot.
Let's do it. We gotta do a drop, and then we'll come back to the Vibe Riot. But we'll do the drop now. We're gonna pay some bills right now. This is how we do our show. We just do it on the fly.
Whatever. Our pants, people.
Play some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop.
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC.
It's past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown,
and you're late.
You're so late. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Jay Wars in his house once again. Talking about Vibe Riot, talking about himself, talking about everything. So without further ado, we're just going to play some Vibe Riot right now.
Yes.
You got it queued up? See money? All right. We're going to do this. This is Vibe Riot.
Don't drink their wine and feel neglected. What once was free is now infected. Don't get lost in space and time, searching for your peace of mind. Said a change must come from the inside.
The shakedown, brought the town down, rumbling. People so strong, but the weak walls crumbling. So-called leaders take the pulpits, mumbling. They live a fantasy, cause realness is troubling. Things we go through take you to another level. It's never sweet, catch you messing with them devils. Young boys run around town with some older rebels. Lightweight, stay rocking out with some heavy metal. You can't relate, make the common mistake. Judge a book by the cover and you self-medicate. Gotta fight the early battle, cause the loser is late. And the winner winds up the ones choosing your fate. Make no mistakes about me, ain't nothing fake. Still showing love when we clearly sense the hate. If you're scared, give up your arms to feel safe. We survive ignorance, fight back and educate survivors.
Don't get lost in space and time.
J-War.
Searching for your peace of mind. Said a change must come from the inside.
There we go.
Booyah.
We were
were so busy clapping that we didn't turn the mics on.
Let's reverse it. Like, you know what we're doing. So, yeah, that's Vibe Riot. 2018, you call it the Summer of Love.
Is that conversely to battle something
We had a crazy summer last year.
Yep, we sure did.
And we also had people kind of doing the same thing, diverting attention to what was happening right now. Do you feel that this is an apropos time to exchange love? Because let's be real. Like, our community has suffered, like, damage that is, I wouldn't say irreparable, but has not been repaired yet.
Has not, yep.
It's going to take more than a year. And it's going to take more than, you know, a couple black women in an office, God love them, to make that change. So what do you feel is the responsibility of the artist and the musician in Charlottesville right now to promote love, to keep the conversation going and just be a support system for people that use music in times of trauma?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I feel like music and arts reach a place in our minds that nothing else does the same way. And so, yeah, I think the message of love, these diverse conversations and connections that, you know, are all around us and available to us, I feel like music can be a glue to maybe start making some of those connections and bringing us together in safe places. And yeah, I think our responsibility is, as artists, sometimes we know how to make those connections in a very charismatic or smooth, feel-good way that maybe other ways don't quite reach. And so,
way that automatically disarms the audience because they're not entering it thinking that they have to have their guard up. They're entering it as, hey, I'm going to go listen to music, or I'm going to go see a play.
Or you might say, Sam disturbs the comforter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
But you were going to say, Clinton?
And can I say something that really brings that home to me so strongly is one of the first things we read in terms of music, the Wintergreen, and in terms of musical events coming up, the Wintergreen Summer Music Festival, which I really think of as being very, I mean, it's nothing that I've gone to see. I imagine that it would just cost me more than I make in a month just to step onto the Wintergreen grounds.
Yeah.
Right? It's just not.
That's normally so, the feeling, yeah.
So not my scene. And yet, this year's festival, building bridges, celebrating the connections that only music can make. I mean, it's really interesting how across such a wide social divide, there is this, it seems, I mean, don't you think there's been this push to say, you know what? Let's bring some things together.
Definitely. I mean, it hurts everybody when we have a not summer of love, you know?
Right, so.
So yeah, and everybody's exactly.
And when we have
now.
A current administration that promotes the opposite of love and nothing but isolationism and domination and just sheer outright disdain,
we need
I think we need times like this. I think we need places where we can bring each other together and not necessarily like find things that polarize us. And Vibri is so groovy. Like you said, it's got everything for everybody. It's got a little bit of reggae. It's got a little bit of hip hop. It's got a little bit of rock. So something for everybody in that music.
Yeah, speaking of which, do you get any pushback from that? Because in terms of marketability, right, what I've heard from musicians is that the market or the marketers want there to be boxes.
Stay in your lane.
Right. That you can, so we, you know, we can market this as this. We can market this as reggae, or we can market this as R&B. We can market this as hip hop. But looking at your music, it seems like you don't really care. Like, you'll throw in, a ska sounding break and have it shift into almost a hard rock break. And then you'll go right back into something else. And it's just like, so what are your thoughts about styles and genres?
I think that kind of everything. We knock on a lot of doors, and not all of them open, but I just focus on the ones that open. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's some people who might not understand what we're doing, and I'm like, this is for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then those that do, you know, their friends and their connections and their families, and eventually everybody comes around and will either appreciate what we're doing or they don't, you know, and I've just realized that I can't really focus, you know, and put too much energy. like I said, on opportunities or doors that aren't opening, because then you're exhausted when the doors do open.
Word.
And then you got festivals and you're like, oh my God, how do I make this happen?
Right,
you
know what right,
I
mean? Right.
So you got to save, protect and save your energy for those moments.
Right.
And that's kind of how we've been.
So, speaking of festivals, we got to wrap up soon. So, something new that 2018's given us that 2017 hasn't, or March 2018
right.
hasn't. And, talk about, yeah, sell me now.
Well, we got Afro Beta coming through, which
right
I don't think has been performing in Charlottesville before.
Right.
Yeah. Never.
And I don't want to say too much and give too much away, but they're funky. They've got drum circle, DJ, and a lot
when
of
you got
fun.
Afro in the name, you better be funky.
Right?
You can't come with no harpsichord on the stage and be like,
not,
wait a minute.
except if you're bouzouki player Constantinius Afropopoulos, then you don't have to be funky. But
excuse
everybody
me.
Else, if you got Afro
don't
in your name.
No. You better,
I'm sure that's even the funkiest Greek composer ever, though. But go on.
We've got Patient Zero. We've got Knowledge, Corbin. We've got Return of the Comeback Dance Crew. Ike. Ike from the MRC is bringing these people. And
nice.
We've got some really cool sounds. We've got a dancer, Victoria Torres, doing some native Venezuelan style dances.
Cool.
And we've got some... A lot of different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah, I was going
to
say, you're
time.
Like, I ain't going to give the whole thing away.
Yeah, don't give everything away.
You got to come to the joint. I ain't giving up the whole lineup. Nah, that's
wow.
smart. That's smart. You smart. You loyal. All right. But we got to wrap up. It's been a great show. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Leslie. I've always, you know,
thank
I love
y'all.
You. You know, I love you. It's what it is. Thank you. Dan Gould on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call coming up next. Kim Wilkins, Jessica Ote, and Elise Kane from Charlottesville Women in Tech talking about their efforts to encourage more girls and women to pursue career in technology. Yeah, it's going to be great. Thank y'all. Great homegrown. We're going to have another great one next week, and we'll see y'all then. Take it
Bye.
Easy.
Peace.
Bye.
Peace.
Yeah, this has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Right now you're listening, again, to Vibe Riot. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke Legal Services. Like a song. Coming up next, previously broadcast episode of Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. If you missed it, we'll have to diss ya. See ya. Highway, say we got traction, respect the name. Vibe Riot got queens acting Tuesday. Bands make them dance and pop the booty. Good on my ego for like 3 days. Still cats wanna scratch the record like DJs. I can break it down, use half a brain. Still take chaps on a wild chase. On 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.